This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for lectures, features, and radio shows. And now, here's Coy Barefoot.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at SeavilleTomorrow.org, and he joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development issues here in Central Virginia. Brian, how are you?
Good.
Did you get rained on out there?
I almost slipped walking out of my building at the office.
Oh, you're kidding.
The front steps were iced over. So not only in your car should you be careful, but
about
walking around.
A few hours ago, I was driving back from Richmond, and I went into this just all of a sudden. It was raining, and then all of a sudden it was ice. And it went from just, you know, water on the windshield to like a sheet of ice on the windshield in seconds. It was a little scary.
Well, I hope everyone's being very careful out there.
Yeah, absolutely. What are we talking about today? We got a long list here.
I thought it'd be good to follow up on the water supply plan. You had some good guests talking about that last week.
Betty Mooney and Kevin Lynch of, what was the organization? It's and I'm embarrassed that I can't remember, but there is a citizens group that has formed.
I believe they call themselves Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan.
Right. And they want the Ravana Sewer and Water Authority to reconsider its plans vis-a-vis the water supply, the 50-year water supply for our region.
So I thought a little history on that would be good. And then later in the show, we can talk about the proffers bill that's working its way through the General Assembly. And just got some information that may have passed the Senate today. We need to get confirmation on that. And Sean Tubbs, my colleague, is trying to get confirmation right now.
And I'm looking forward to talking about that. That's huge.
That's a big bill.
That is a huge, huge news issue that with the primary going on and all this stuff, folks might overlook that. So I definitely want to focus on that because that affects all of us. I mean, that's pretty major. The developers basically writing their own sweet deal, taking it to Richmond, and it looks like it's passing.
So that's what I want to get into today.
We'll talk about it. All right. So let's start with the water.
Well, you know, you had, as you said, Betty Mooney and Kevin Lynch on the show. And I should point out that Charlottesville Tomorrow has been heavily involved covering the water supply discussion in the community. But our organization does not have a position on which plan is the best plan. So we've just been trying to get the best information out there over the past several years. And in fact, in February 2005, that was the first meeting I ever went to, sort of wearing my Charlottesville Tomorrow hat.
Really? Although, a water meeting.
Although then we didn't know what it was going to be called, Charlottesville Tomorrow, that is.
Yeah.
And but I went to the meeting and took lots of notes and started my education about the water supply plan. And I was looking back at the Daily Progress from February, actually, almost a year to the day, February of 2005. And there were lots of articles then written by Julie Stavitsky, who was the education reporter, then she became local government reporter, and Julie Stavitsky for the Daily Progress, who now happens to be a teacher in Albemarle County. But
go figure.
She was a reporter then, and she was writing stories about the water supply options that were on the table at the time. And they included things like putting a bladder on the South Fork Reservoir, which Kevin Lynch has talked about.
Which Kevin was saying they raised rates to do, and then they didn't do it.
That's right.
But they didn't lower the rates after they didn't do it.
You know, they talked about raising the dam at Ragged Mountain. That was talked about back in 2005, early 2005, and the impact that would have on the Ragged Mountain Natural Area and some of the issues around that. And in fact, Dee Dee Smith, who's another member of this organization, was quoted in the paper back in 2005 expressing her concerns about losing some of that parkland. And I think what's important for the community to know is that there is a concrete plan that's on the table that the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority has pulled together. It is, as you said, a 50-year supply plan that we're required to have.
The state. Richmond says your local water boards, you have to have a plan, a 50-year plan, provide enough water for your expected growth.
That's right.
That's the law, right?
That's right. And as Ravana started looking at that, they also had some aging infrastructure. We've talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
But on the water supply side, there were two critical things that are starting to fail. One is a pipeline that I think is about 80 years old that runs from Sugar Hollow to the Ragged Mountain Reservoir close to the city. That pipe is leaking, needs to be replaced. The other is the dam itself at Ragged Mountain needs to be repaired. And so as they were looking at those capital projects, one of the things they talked about doing is just replacing the dam altogether at Ragged Mountain. Over 2005, this plan sort of evolved from these different options, and then they were looking at pipeline options. So everyone agreed we need a bigger bathtub to hold more water. The question is how to fill it. And so the two pipeline options.
I appreciate that simple
you
language.
You like that?
Yes, I like that simple language.
Well, here's
the thing. Because I get it. Well, we need a bigger place to hold it, and you need to figure out how you're going to fill it.
And unless we're in a drought situation, which we just got out of, but unless we're in a drought, we have plenty of water. The water rolls over the dam and keeps on going down to Richmond. So the problem is our bathtub wasn't big enough to hold enough so that when it stops raining and the drought happens, that we can slowly draw down those big reservoirs.
So we need a bigger bathtub.
That's right.
And a new way to fill that bigger bathtub.
Right. And the bigger bathtubs that were talked about were expanding South Fork. That's the one you can see up 29
North. We have
three
bathtubs now, right?
Three main ones.
Sugar Hollow. The
Ragged Mountain
and
South Fork. Those three. Now, Crozet is handled by Beaver Creek Reservoir, so that's another reservoir. Scottsville has its own reservoir. But those are the three big ones that handle the urban water supply. So all of the city of Charlottesville and the growth area in Albemarle
the
County.
The urban ring. As
that's on the public water supply. And so they looked at those options. How can we build a bigger bathtub? How can we fill it? The pipeline option that was considered and got a lot of attention was running a pipeline from Charlottesville to the James River at Scottsville and filling it via the James River. That brought out a whole lot of people very concerned about the environmental consequences and the cost of doing that. So some of the environmental issues were, you know, you'd have to treat water that's coming from Lynchburg. Lynchburg has a combined stormwater sewer system. So we know they're you know, during certain storm events, they have...
They got poo in the river.
They got poo in the river.
Yeah.
And you'd have to treat that. There's also growing concern, I think, by scientists about some of the things we flush down the toilet. Pharmaceuticals and how those get potentially into a water supply in very small amounts, but our current treatment technology may not remove all of those chemicals. So there was concern again about pulling that water out of the James. And, you know, people pointed out, well, hey, Richmond has to deal with that. That's true, but they don't really have a choice. So our community really came together during 2005, 2006 and said, hey, we can do something within our own watershed. And I would just point out that this new group that's formed shares a lot of those same beliefs that many of the environmental groups that came out in favor of another pipeline agreed with. And that is, let's connect our existing reservoirs better, smarter, and let's build a bigger reservoir at Ragged Mountain, connect it to South Fork, and fill it from there. And that ensures that we're collecting, you know, 99% of our water from our own watershed.
So pick one of the three to make into a bigger bathtub.
That's
and
right.
Run a pipe from one of the smaller bathtubs into this bigger bathtub.
To fill it.
To keep it full. Yeah.
And the reason that's important is the Ragged Mountain Reservoir doesn't have much of a watershed. It's got basically it's encircled by mountains. So it has no other expanded land territory from which to collect water.
So naturally, it's just tailor-made to make into a bigger bathtub.
Well, in some ways, you could say that. But also, if you make it bigger, it doesn't collect enough rainwater to fill itself naturally. So if we filled it and then started using it for the water supply, it wouldn't refill on its own.
Yeah.
So there needs to be another source. Now, that's true today, and the source is Sugar Hollow. So again, a lot of people don't realize that Sugar Hollow is connected to Ragged Mountain, and that's why we get that great water that's very clean.
When did they connect that? That's wild.
It's about 80 years ago.
That there's a pipe from Sugar Hollow all the way down to Ragged Mountain, which for folks who don't know, where is that? It's
Ragged Mountain's at the end of Fontaine Avenue.
Yeah. Yep. There's a pipe underground that connects those two.
Yep.
That's pretty wild. And of course, Sugar Hollow is right at the foot of the Blue Ridge, so all the water runs down out of those off the Blue Ridge and down the rivers and fills it up.
Now, Kevin Lynch was on the program, former city councilor, and Kevin has been very consistent in his concerns about this. He has said that things should be done incrementally. You know, he says, I understand you have to look at 50 years, but let's figure out some steps, but then let's only take a few steps at a time to get us down that path. So his initial support of this...
Because circumstances change, and you may want to stop at some point and say, hey, is the next step make sense?
Right. Technology could improve. The population could not grow as fast as we expect.
Right, right.
Et cetera. And he said, you know, let's raise Ragged Mountain only 13 feet initially instead of 45 feet. So they're talking about raising the pool at Ragged Mountain by 45 feet, which would eliminate a lot of, you know, the Ragged Mountain natural area because you need a bigger reservoir. He also said, you know, let's use other reservoirs like Beaver Creek and Chris Green, and he agreed we should focus on a local solution. So again, Kevin Lynch is now involved with this organization, but as a city councilor, he voted to support this water supply plan that came forward. However, at the time he voted for it in 2006, the phasing of this was not really clear to everybody. The components were clear. It was clear Ragged Mountain at some point would go to 45 feet higher than it is today. At some point, we would build a pipeline connecting them. But what was not clear was that Ragged Mountain really needed to be built all at once if you're going to expand that dam. That information didn't come up until, I believe, mid-2007. And at that point, the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority is trying to figure out, how are we going to pay for all this? How are we going to phase these different projects? And they looked at the phasing of the Ragged Mountain Dam, and they went into it thinking, okay, let's build basically a big base for this bigger dam, but let's only build a certain height dam initially, and then we can add on to the top of it later. And what they found was that that would cost taxpayers a whole lot more money to do it in phases instead of building it all at once. So that's one of the reasons things changed in the assessment here, not the components, but the phasing of this plan. Yeah.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Brian, when they were in the other day, there was, I can't remember who it was, but Betty or Kevin or maybe a caller accused the Ravenna Sewer and Water Authority and of empire building, of just trying to build and build and not necessarily when they have to. But, you know, you've been to all of these meetings for years. Do you see that as possibly an issue here?
Well, it was Kevin Lynch who made that comment on the program. And my observation is that Tom Frederick, who's new to the authority, has come in and found an empire in shambles. So there was not a 50-year water supply plan. There was not a tough look at our sewer infrastructure and what upgrades need to be made. So I think he's responding to a system that really needs a lot of attention. He's also responding to the fact that the county is approving a whole lot of new development. So over 10,000 homes have been approved in the past 2 years. We know that they're going to need water and sewer. And I think that's another concern city residents have brought to the table and said one of their concerns is, you know, they're not sure they really want to pay to help Albemarle County grow. And again, Charlottesville Tomorrow has not taken a position on that, but I think to fairly represent their concerns, that's something some of the members of this organization have been saying.
Yeah, and I've heard that from their comments. I've heard that from city residents. I've heard it from county residents. Why should I have to pay more out of my pocket to help some developer build his neighborhood?
The other reaction I think you're seeing from city residents is a feeling that their parks are under attack by roads and by dams now. Because you've got McIntyre Park, which is going to be where the Meadow Creek Parkway goes.
Yeah.
You've got the Meadow Creek Parkway and you've got the interchange. That's getting a big discussion going around that park and the loss of some parkland there. You've got the Eastern Connector, a road that right now the consultants are saying the best place to put that is right along Penn Park. So again, another city park under attack from their point of view by a road.
From growth, yeah.
And then you've got now the Ragged Mountain Natural Area, which was always intended to be a watershed and now has become a very valuable recreational park. It wasn't always that way.
Because the lake is pretty. Yeah.
Yeah, and they've got a great trail system around it. So I think, you know, trying to reflect on some of the comments I heard, you know, I thought it was important to point out that there have been lots of public meetings. Kevin Lynch pointed that out in his comments, both on your program and in the past. And there's been a lot of opportunity for the public to weigh in. There will still be opportunity in the future. But City Council, Board of Supervisors, they've both said they think this plan makes sense. The city councilors that were just elected have all said on the record that they support this water supply plan for the community.
And why wasn't this group formed a couple of years ago? It sounds like they're late to the party, it seems.
Well, some of them were involved early on and raising concerns about the loss of some of this. Others, I think, didn't see it coming as clearly as they do now.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. And, of course, the phone lines are always open for you at 977-1070. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour, get an update on all the traffic and the weather, the traffic accidents out there. We've got a bunch of them, folks. Rob will have a full list for you here in just a few minutes and an update on our weather. It's mighty cold. Got some freezing rain coming down, a wintry mix. Please be aware that it's pretty treacherous out there in some spots. Brian, when we get back, one of the things we want to talk about is this new legislation, which looks like it's going to pass the General Assembly this year, which has to do with what we're talking about. This, how do localities pay for the infrastructure they need so that they can grow, so that developers can come in and create new neighborhoods?
That's right.
And it's pretty interesting what's going on. We'll talk about that when we get back with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and you're listening to Charlottesville Right Now.
You're listening to the podcast of Charlottesville Right Now with Poi Barefoot. Podcasting of the show is made available by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development issues here in Central Virginia. You can learn more online at sevilletomorrow.org. Brian, in the last segment, we were talking about the 50-year water plan. And before we leave that issue and talk about anything else, just wanted to, you had one more thing?
Yeah, a couple other quick points. This the water supply plan is currently at the stage where a permit is pending with the Department of Environmental Quality, and we're expecting a decision any day. I tried to call over to the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority before the show. They weren't ready to share the news about that, but I think we'll have some news tomorrow about whether this permit has been approved. That permit then would allow the local government and Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority to move ahead with the water supply plan. So look for some news on that tomorrow. The last thing I'd say is that this group, the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan, a good thing that they have brought up is the dredging of the South Fork Ravenna Reservoir. And I think that is something that many of the environmental groups that have worked on this have said there needs to be a plan to maintain the health of that reservoir. And I don't think the Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority would agree that they with the perception, the framing that they would let that reservoir sort of die.
And just fill in. Yeah.
That's not part of the plan. So it's essential that that reservoir be maintained. And I think what needs to be done is look at the cost of dredging, what's the best way to do that. And I'm certain that they will be looking into that. But well, I think it's great this group is bringing that up, and we need to keep beating that drum.
Well, here's what I want to know, because I'm a taxpayer in Albemarle County. How are we going to pay for all this stuff? How are they going to pay for this big new dam and this new pipe and,
well,
and all of this water plan stuff? It's basically called a tax in the form of raising your water rates, right?
That's right. And what they're looking at, we just got this information. It's up on our website. There was a recent update. The Gary Fern from Albemarle County Service Authority, Tom Frederick from Ravenna Water and Sewer Authority are now briefing the Board of Supervisors regularly. They're projecting city rates will go up 1.3% per year for the next 5 years. County rates will go up 2.5%. per year for the next 5 years. That's just to build the Ragged Mountain Dam. Now,
jeez,
if they try to build
2.5% per year for 5 years,
right,
is what, 14-13%?
Yeah. Now, some are saying we should build the dam and the pipeline connecting it to South Fork at the same time. If they do that, it'll be 7% per year for the city and 11.7% per year for the county.
Oh my God!
For the next 5 years.
Wait a minute, 11.7%. Increase on your water bill every year for 5 years?
Right. That's how they're going to pay for that.
What's 11.7 times 5? 70?
A fair amount.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Now, this is being negotiated.
Speaking for no one but myself.
Right.
I think that is outrageous.
You're on a well.
No, we're on public water.
Oh, you're on public water.
We're in the urban ring.
Oh.
Yeah, we're in the urban ring.
I forgot your little development was hooked up to public water.
I don't understand. That's outrageous increase in public. And people don't know this is coming.
Well, it's been talked about as the $140, $150 million project. Now we're starting to hear the numbers of how we pay for this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and all of this is to support the growth of our community. We get growth from our community because developers come in and want to build new neighborhoods. So the logical question is, well, then why shouldn't they be paying this increase?
Yes, but,
why should I?
Yes, but it's not all the growth. I mean, the South Fork was built in 1966, and it has been filling up 1% per year with sediment. So even the existing people that live here need something done to address that reservoir.
But we don't necessarily need 100.
The 80-year-old pipeline from Sugar Hollow is failing. So again, for the existing people who live here, that needs to be addressed. The dam at Ragged Mountain needs to be repaired. So again, we just like with water and sewer, when we've talked about sewer capacity, we certainly need capacity for new people moving here, but we also need to fix the failing infrastructure that we have.
But we're talking really here within 10 years of seeing our water rates double. It's basically what, I mean, at the end of the day, call a spade a spade. That's basically what we're saying.
That's right. And the city and county will negotiate the cost allocation of that. And the county's going to pay more.
Wow. Outrageous. Well, let's tell folks about what's going on in Richmond with this legislation regarding how communities across Virginia pay for this kind of thing, pay for infrastructure that's needed so that you can grow.
This infrastructure is more along the lines of schools, roads, libraries, that kind of public infrastructure, fire rescue facilities, things like that. And, you know, Coy, when I started this job, we used to always say, it's a shame that, you know, Virginia doesn't have impact fees. Impact fees were something opposed by the builders in Richmond when they would lobby Richmond because they didn't want to pay impact fees. So that's something you would pay per house a certain amount of money. So the system
for the impact that your new development has on the larger community.
Right. And the high
vis-a-vis cars and sewage and
the high growth localities would go to Richmond every year and say, we want impact fees. And Richmond would say, you've got the power, just don't rezone things. Or if you don't like the way it's zoned, rezone it. And so they would send local governments back to the drawing board and say, you know, just figure it out. And then we have the system called proffers. Now, proffers only work when you're doing a rezoning, right? So proffers are a way to get information, to get funds to mitigate the cost of development from a rezoned piece of property. So in Albemarle County, think about rezonings, the big ones, North Point, Hollymead Town Center, Albemarle Place, Biscuit Run, Old Trail Village. Those are big projects that have been rezoned that have brought proffers to the table to help sweeten the deal.
Yeah.
You can't insist on certain proffers because they have to be volunteered by the developer. So we've always had this system where rezonings have a proffer system, but out in the rural countryside, where you put in, you know, a subdivision like your subdivision out in Ivy, proffers are not required and impact fees were not allowed. So things have changed in the past several years. And in fact, this year in front of the General Assembly, the building community came in and said, we'd rather have impact fees. let's get rid of the proffers. One of the reasons is the proffers have really gone up in value. So if you look at Loudoun County is getting per home $47,000 for a house in a proffer, cash proffer. Prince William County, $30,000. Albemarle, until last year, was getting only $3,000 per house. Now we're getting $17,500. But that gives you a sense of the spread. Northern Virginia is getting a lot more, but we just recently seriously increased our cash proffers. This bill in front of the General Assembly, which sources are telling me right now by text messaging, sources in the city of Charlottesville are saying that this just passed the Senate in Richmond. And this is a bill called Senate Bill 768, which eliminates the cash proffer system, replaces it with impact fees at a capped rate. That cap rate may have been negotiated in the final bill that was passed, but what they were looking at until yesterday was capping it at $5,000 per house for a place like Albemarle County. So we were at $3,000. Our Board of Supervisors unanimously took it to $17,500 as a cash proffer expectation. Now this bill would take it back down to $5,000.
Certainly a bill that favors the development, the developers and the growth community doesn't favor the local citizen or local governments who have to come up, figure out a way to pay for these the infrastructure for these new developments.
There's some good articles in the Washington Post tracking this and sort of in trying to flesh out some of the, you know, what's motivating this. And some of the speculation is the housing market, you know, it's going down. This certainly adds to the cost of housing when you have to pay cash proffers. Somebody has to pay for it. And so the question is, you know, is this a way where they can, you know, limit their cost?
Yeah. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Mark on line one. Mark, are you still with us? Oh, we lost Mark. Mark, call back if you'd like. Got a phone line open at 977-1070. If you have a comment or a question about growth and development, water in Central Virginia, Brian?
So our Board of Supervisors, Coy, came out and against this unanimously.
Of course they would.
Well, you know, I was surprised it was unanimous. And it's interesting because, you know, some of our local supervisors have been heavily supported by local developers.
Yeah.
So some could make the argument that, hey, I'm surprised that person would come out against Senate Bill 768.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dennis Rooker pointed out that had Biscuit Run, had this bill been in place and Biscuit Run come through the county, the proffers would have been reduced by more than half, $25 million.
Wow.
So $41 million is what Dennis Rooker estimated we got in the way of proffers for Biscuit Run. It would have been reduced by more than half.
The developers have to absolutely love, well, they wrote this bill. I mean, they have to absolutely love this bill. It is certainly in their favor, but it's going to make local governments like Albemarle County just sort of, you have to think twice then before you approve the next neighborhood, because how are we gonna pay for your sewer, new developer? How are we gonna pay for the schools and the roads?
And I think some of the developers have gotten a little concerned, because that's what they're hearing from local governments. People are saying, well, fine, if this bill gets approved, we'll just stop rezoning things.
Well, I don't see how you, if you have any other choice, otherwise, how do you pay for this stuff?
So apparently now they're going to they're trying to carve out certain Fairfax localities so that they can get Fairfax on board with this. So
the developers are saying this new law will apply to everybody but Fairfax County.
Yeah. We'll exempt Tyson's Corner and Reston Town Center and make the rest of Virginia pay the tab.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, if they included Fairfax County, then Fairfax County has the political clout in Richmond to really kill the bill. So they exempt them and get it passed. Unbelievable. Let's go to the phones. Jim is on line one in Charlottesville. Jim, you're on with Brian Wheeler. You go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I just want to make a quick comment. When we keep talking about this is a developer's bill, and I have nothing to do with the development of a real estate business, when a developer is forced to pay a $17,500 proffer to build a house, who do you think pays that fee?
Well, I think I just made that point. I think we all pay. So I think
yeah,
the person.
So I think it, I mean the question is, are we going to hide it to the taxpayer and the citizen who pays for the house, and that proffer is built into that sales price, and it's not itemized, which I think would be a great thing, so home buyers could see what the county's taking or making them pay. That the fee, the infrastructure's got to be paid for. And I think hiding it in this way and saying that this is a dream come true for the developers is extremely misleading, and I think in some ways misrepresentative of the fact that the county needs to have a plan, stick to it, and if they're forced to rezone or carry out their business with full disclosure in front of the public instead of leaning on the developers and who pass that cost through, it's just like you raise taxes on corporations.
Well, Jim, I think you raise a good point about the cash proffer system that exists today. And in fact, one of the things Albemarle County did when it came up with the 17,500 number was pin it to the capital improvements program so that it could justify that number. It said, hey, let's look over the next 10 years. What do we have to build to meet the needs for the community? And that's where that number came from. And so that's unlike, I think, some of the other localities in Virginia, maybe, which have supersized their proffers beyond something that can really be tied down to local needs. And I'm not familiar enough with Loudoun County, but if they're pulling in $47,000, I mean, that's a huge proffer. And I guess what I would just want the listeners to know is that Albemarle County took a different approach and based it on what they do in Chesterfield County in Virginia and said, let's only go to the point where we can justify it based on our approved capital needs.
I don't have, Jim, thank you so much for the call. I got a lot of folks we want to try to get to here. I don't have any problem. I think it's a great idea in the sale of a home if they itemize it there. But I wouldn't just say this is the amount that the local government is taking from you. I would truly itemize it then and be upfront and saying this is the amount that you're going to be paying when you buy this home for your water, for your sewer, to go to the schools, to cover the roads, to cover the fire and rescue, and to cover the police that are all going to need more infrastructure and more money because you're building this house here. So I have no problem if we want to do that, and let's truly then be upfront about the costs that are required then when we create a new home in a cow pasture. Let's go to Scott on line two in Charlottesville. Scott, go right ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Mr. Wheeler, it seems to me like during your day job you want the county to grow less, but at your night job you seem to be complaining that the revenues aren't growing enough. And I just want to know, which is it? Do you want low growth, or do you need more tax money, or aren't you working against yourself?
Well, there's an interesting question. You know, in my day job,
I don't think you've ever had that question.
I haven't had that question. Let's be clear. Charlottesville Tomorrow doesn't take a position for or against any particular development or road project. So, no, I don't think it's a problem for us to cover these issues in a nonpartisan way and just get the information out there. So, in this case, you know, with this proffer bill, it's it does touch schools. I'm not talking specifically about that aspect of it right now, but that's certainly part of it. And my night job, of course, is being on the Albemarle County School Board. And we try to stay away from those issues on the program. That's Coy and I's agreement on this.
Well, it's a small town. We all wear many hats. I mean, I work at UVA during the day.
But it's a fair point. If Charlottesville Tomorrow was taking a position, I think I'd certainly have some challenges, but we're not.
Let's go to Eric on line three in Charlottesville. Eric, you go right ahead.
Yes, I was tuning in a little late. Am I hearing right that there are going to be some sort of impact fees for land development to pay for water?
That's correct. Now, what's happening is there's a bill in front of the General Assembly called Senate Bill 768. If you're interested in that bill, you can go to richmondsunlight.com and pull up the information about that bill. Senate Bill 768 would eliminate the cash proffer system in Virginia and replace it with impact fees that would be capped at a much lower rate than what we're currently getting in Albemarle County in the form of a cash proffer.
It's going to pass.
It looks like it's passed the Senate today.
Yeah, interesting. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at seavilletomorrow.org. Joins us every Tuesday afternoon to talk growth and development. The Attorney General of Virginia, Bob McDonnell, good friend of this program. He'll be a guest on the program tomorrow. Y'all have a great night.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show is on the air Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. Join in on the show by calling 434-977-1070 or feel free to leave a comment on the show at seavillepodcast.com. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.